Let's turn to the book of Romans today. We're going to go to Romans 12. And we're going to do the first two verses. I know you done heard this many, many times, but the Lord has placed this upon my heart, and I'm going to be reading from the King James. And it talks about living sacrifices to God. That's what our lives are supposed to be, living sacrifices unto the Lord. Amen? And I'm just going to read the first two verses. All right. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Amen? So there's a good, there's an acceptable, and there's a perfect will of God for each and every one of our lives. When you read the book of Romans, just to give you a little history on what is going on here, the Paul the Apostle is writing to the church, and it's a newly formed church. All right, so look at, we'll call it Cakes Fire, all right, the newly formed church. And what Paul is writing to the church, because he wants them, the same way God wants us, to understand that everything we do is based on our faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? Everything that we do is based on that cross, that day of forgiveness, all right? That day that God paid the penalty for sin that was in our life, that day that empowered us to live a righteous life before God, because that's what this is all about. And Paul goes through this, all right? And if you read it, it's one of Paul's greatest writings, systematically, theologically, however it works for you. This is one of the greatest writings for the church. And this is why we have to understand where we get our Christian conduct. If you don't know how you're supposed to act before the Lord, read the book of Romans, and you're going to get everything that you need. And I want to talk today about God's initiative and our response. Amen? Because God already made this. Initiative is a first step. A readiness to undertake something on one's own. So God took the first step towards us through Jesus Christ. He's seen our sin nature. He's seen that we were unable to come up out of this sin because of our disobedience. So he made a step towards us. Now the response is an act of responding, or to answer. It's like when your cell phone goes off. You have two choices. You can either hit the ignore button or you can answer the call. Amen? But this is what it's all about. As far as us, as far as being believers. Because, see, we don't come to church or we don't debate the word. We believe the word. That's what a believer is all about. It's not debating whether God's right or whether God's wrong. We believe that he's right. Why? Because he is God. Amen? So this is what it's all about. I want you to think today about the initiative that God took towards us, the sacrifice. He gave his best for us. So what are we going to give back to you, God, for what you have given us? Amen? So the Apostle Paul goes on, and he's talking. And one thing about a sacrifice I want you to understand, in the olden days, in Psalms 118, 27, it says, God is the Lord and has given us light. Jesus is our light. And he says, bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. When they used to take the sacrifice, they used to tie it up. Amen? Because the fire makes stuff move. Amen? Even if you're dead, the fire is going to make you move, all right? So he used to say, bind the sacrifice with cords. And that's what you have to do. You have to find your place and build your own altar and tie yourself to it. So when the heat and the fire comes, that you don't move. Because, see, these used to be dead sacrifices. He said, present your body as a living sacrifice. See, we're cool with this living sacrifice thing until the heat comes, and then we want to climb up off the altar. All right, we want to get out of the way of God when he's starting to move in our lives. When he starts shifting and moving, that got to go, he got to go, she got to go, it got to go. That's when we want to move up out the way. But see, we have to respond to God in a way of knowing God. The Bible says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whomsoever shall believe shall not perish but have everlasting life. So our response to the initiative of God should be the same way that he responded to us. It's through love. Jeremiah says that I loved you with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness have I drawn you to myself. It was God's love and kindness that brought you out of the place. You might have heard the word, but it was God's love that moved upon your heart. So Paul is talking to the church, And I just want to read from the Amplified. Anybody who has an Amplified Bible who don't, I would encourage you that you get one, because the Amplified just spells it out a little bit better. He says, I appeal to you, therefore, brethren. Okay? He's making a request to the church and beg you, in the view of all the mercies of God, all the things that God has done. And you have to understand here that Paul is talking about the view of the mercies. When you say therefore, what are you talking about, Paul? Everything from chapter 1 to chapter 11. That's what Paul is talking about. So when you read chapter 1 through chapter 11, chapter 12 is going to make more sense to you, because then you're going to understand all the love of God about Christ, about the sin nature, about presenting yourselves as instruments of righteousness, because we used to present ourselves as instruments of sins. All this stuff is covered in all these chapters. So Paul goes to the church and he says, listen, in view of all the mercies of God, make a decisive decision of your bodies. A decisive decision is having the power to decide. Before, when you was in sin, you might not have the power to decide whether to come out of it or to stay in it. But because of your relationship to Christ, now you have the power. That's what Paul's talking about. Make a decisive decision based on the power you have because of your relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? Because you have it. And it says decisive is also conclusive. You ain't wavering back and forth and sitting on the fence. See? A lot of times we waver back and forth and sit on the fence. You know what I mean? Hot party Friday night. God, you got to stay home. I'm going to the party. That's what he's talking about. A conclusive decision. I done made up my mind. Showing a determination. I'm determined to live right for Christ. How many is ready to live right for Christ? Because this is a new year. This is not only a new year. This is a new decade. We are starting another brand new 10 years. This is a new decade. We always get to it's another new year. Well, all that stuff is washed away. I don't care what happened in the 90s and all that other stuff, all right? Or 2000 to 2009. This is 2010, two zeros. It's like your speedometer getting flipped over, amen? You're starting brand new, all right? You're starting brand new with God. Whether you blew it, whether you didn't, you made mistakes, get over it, okay? Get over it and let's move on. Let's get a determination, because it says if I make a conclusive decision, I'm showing the determination based on what I know, based on the power of the Holy Spirit that lives inside me, based on the revelation of God's word that I understand, based on the relationship of the church that I'm in, the relationships I got, the home groups I got. Amen? That's what this is all about. So Paul is talking to the church. He says, your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties, the ability to act, the power of the mind, and the power of the body. See, just don't think that just you're saved and the power is only up here. See, the power is supposed to be in the pews the same way it's supposed to be up in the pulpit. You all got just as much power as I got. Why? Because you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. It said, these signs shall follow those who believe, that you will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You shall talk in new tongues. You shall drink strong drink and won't harm. Do you believe that? Because that's what Jesus was talking about. He said it just ain't for the pastors that we have here. It just ain't for Vaughn. It just ain't for Steve. It's for the believers. That's who you have. You have a divine ability in you to make the right choices, because that's what it's all about with God. It's about making the right choices in life. What is contrary to God's word and what is in God's word. That's what it's all about. That's what about making these decisions. And that's what Paul was talking to the church about, their faith. Make decisions based upon the faith that you have in God. Amen? Regardless what it is. And a lot of times we have to make decisions according to our faith, and it troubles our spirits, because we have to separate from things that are ungodly. We have to separate from people. We have to separate from family. You have to separate from jobs. You have to separate from a lot of things. But my faith is that he is my Jehovah Jireh, that he is going to provide for me. Amen? Before I go to hell hanging out with you, I'm stepping away from you, because he is going to put my feet on the right path. That's why David said he leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake, not for my name's sake. Amen? For his name's sake. God is always going to lead you in the right place. Jesus spoke of the Holy Spirit, saying that when he comes, he will lead and guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit is not going to lead you anywhere where the truth of God is not going to be revealed. If you're going that way, it ain't the Holy Spirit. It is not the Holy Spirit. So that's why we have to understand in presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice, a lifetime, lively, alive. You should be alive in Christ. You should be happy. The world is smiling, going to hell, and Christians is like this. Praise and worship like this. That's not being alive in Christ. Amen? That's what Paul was saying to the church. You the people that's supposed to be alive. Why? Because we're going to dance on the streets of glory. Amen? That's the promise of the Father. He said a living sacrifice, which means an act. Okay? It's an act or a victim to kill, to slay, to sacrifice by fire. That you put yourself on the altar of God. There's three things about the fire. All right? But I want to talk first about the two P's in the Bible. All right? Pattern and principle. As you read the book, as you read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, you're going to see two things. You're going to see a pattern and you're going to see a principle with God. And they never, ever change. That's why this thing about sacrifice. Cain and Abel knew about sacrifice. All right? And Abel knew what was acceptable to God, and Cain just brought any old thing. That's why God accepted Abel's, and he got tight with Cain. Amen? So Jesus is our sacrifice. Abel is just a type of Christ, all right? Christ knew what was acceptable to the Father, because even in the garden, when he said, listen, if there's any other way we could do this, can we do, let this cup pass from me, right? But Jesus said, no, look, no, Father, not my will, but your will be done. So that's another thing that we have to understand about presenting ourselves as living sacrifice. That is no longer your will. It's no longer the way you think. It's no longer the way you feel. It's not about your education. It's not about your family background. It's not about any of that. It's about your will according to the word of God revealed in his word. Amen? That's what it's all about. And he said, holy. Not only are we presenting ourselves as living sacrifice, but he said, holy, which means devoted. And consecrated to God. We have to learn to be devoted to God. Devote your life. Devote your children. Devote your family. Devote your marriage. Everything that makes up your life. Because it said presenting all your faculties. Everything about you. Not just your body showing up on Sunday. All right? Does your mind show up with your body? All right? Does your emotions show up with your body? All right? What is going on? Is the soul man, is the soul woman involved in all this? Because your soul is your seat of emotions. That's where you make your decisions. See, because the cross is about your will and God's will colliding. And at the cross is where you say, all right, Lord, I lay down my will to pick up your will. That's what this is all about, what Paul is talking to the church. And church, we got to get on our job. Why? Because every promise has been fulfilled as far as Jesus Christ, except for all the nations of the earth hearing the gospel. That's why we need to get on our job. Because if you want to go dance on the street, go, we can speed this thing up. You do know that, right? We can speed it up. But it's up to us to get on our job, okay, to become teachers and preachers of this word, but most of all, to live out this word. Because you know why? You might be the only Bible that some people read. They will never pick this Bible up, but they can see you every day, the way you treat your wife, the way you treat your kids, the way you act and work in tough situations, the way you act in your car when somebody cut you off. No more of that hand language we used to give. This is about a living sacrifice. That's the only way the world is truly going to know that you are a Christian is by the way that you live your life each and every day of your life. Does it mean that you're going to be exonerated from the ills of this world? No, it doesn't. All right? Because we live in a fallen world. We're subject to everything that is in this world, sickness, disease, and everything. But thank God through the blood of Jesus, supernaturally, that stuff don't touch us. All right? But we have to understand what Paul is saying to the church, that we need to be devoted, consecrated to God. My life is consecrated to you, O Lord. All right? No more internet surfing. No more all that other stuff that is in this world. My life is consecrated to God through my music, through my TV, through the movies I watch, through the people I hang out with. That's what a consecrated life is all about. Jesus gave it all. It's time for the church to give all back to him. Amen? He says, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable service. This is just a reasonable thing. that we do. He ain't talking about going to Africa or anything else. He said the reasonable thing that you could do is live a life that's going to draw people to me. Reasonable. All right? Reasonable service. Okay? Rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship. Amen? Then he goes on in verse 2 and says, and do not be conformed to this world, this age, 2010, fashioned after and adapted to its external, superficial customs. All right? I know when you were 16, you had that little Coke bottle look, okay? Babies and everything don't change that look, all right? Fellas, I know we used to be chiseled up, but guess what? Things have changed, all right? Things have changed. But when you walk in the supermarket, what do you see? Nothing about all these models, all these magazines, all this superficial look to make you think that you don't have no value in God because I don't look like her. God didn't make you to look like her. All right? Thank God if you do. But if you don't, guess what? You still got value. All right? You still got value. And that's what Paul wants us to understand, because sometimes we get so caught up in the superficial. How I look. How am I going to be received with these clothes on? How are they going to think about me with my hair? That's all superficial. Because you have to remember what God says. It says every hair on your head is already counted by God. That's the things that we have to worry about. Not all this superficial stuff. That's why they got planting this, taking this off, putting that on. Why? Because people are not satisfied with themselves. Because superficially, I need to keep up this image. Jesus made himself of no reputation. Jesus didn't care what he looked like. Jesus didn't care what you thought about him. Why? Because he made no reputation. He was cool with who he was in the Father. And that's what the church got to do. We got to be cool with who we are in God. Forget about what the world says. I don't care what you got to say about me, what you think about how I look, what I drive. That ain't me. All right? Because I know I got a new celestial body coming. I don't know what it looks like, but I know I got one coming. It might be look like Arnold Schwarzenegger or something, you know? Who knows? I said, Pastor Don, you awful buff now, brother. What's going on here? But he says the superficial customs. You know, look at the customs of this world. What you got to do to participate in these little groups? What you got to put on? Who you got to get rid of? Now you can't talk to the friends that you grew up with, used to eat over the house. Why? Because we don't associate with them. That's the superficial customs, because that's what the church was doing. And Paul had to grab them back and pull them into the place and say, hey, listen, we're supposed to be extending to the world. Amen? We're supposed to be drawing people closer to ourselves, not pushing away. And he says, all right, that he does not want you to conform to this world, but be transformed, changed. All right? A transformation is a change. And what he's saying is be changed, just like a caterpillar changes into a butterfly. That's what we're supposed to do. See, we ain't supposed to be crawling around no more on our bellies. Why? Because God gave us wings to fly. Through Jesus Christ, he has transformed our lives. And the view is a lot different up here than it is when you're crawling on your belly. Amen? But we have to have enough faith in God, enough confidence in God, just like that caterpillar who has natural energy enemies that attaches himself to the branch until God can surround himself in that cocoon, which protects him until he is able to be transformed into a butterfly. And that's what the church is all about. Yeah, you might have been a caterpillar, but guess what? You're surrounded by people who love you. You're surrounded by people who's going to speak the word into you. Surrounded by people who's going to pray for you. You're surrounded by people that is going to pour so much love into you, even if you did not have that in your life, that is going to be able to transform your life, that you're going to be able to fly into somebody else's house and do the same thing that is done for you. That's what he's talking about, that we need to be changed up here, because that's where the enemy attacks, right here, every time. That's what he did with Eve. That's what he did in the garden. All right? And like I said before, he made her focus on what she couldn't do, instead of all the abundance that was in the garden that God had gave her. Don't let the enemy play you like that. Be smarter than that. All right? You might not have a Mercedes, okay, but I'm still making it. All right? You might not have that mansion yet, but I'm still making it. All right? Don't let the enemy make you look at the world and see what they got, because you can't take it with you. Have you ever seen a U-Haul behind a hearse? Huh? Never, right? You have never seen a U-Haul behind the hearse. So you ain't taking it with you. Like I said, thank God if you got it, but be cool if you don't. But we have to change our minds by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideas and its new attitudes. See, when you have a new mind, just like it's a new year, insanity is thinking that you're going to do the same thing you've been doing and getting a different result. That's insanity, okay? Or borderline insanity, all right? So therefore, if you want God to move different in your life, then you're going to have to do things that you never did before. You're going to have to start getting up a little bit earlier and lay before the Lord. You're going to have to get up a little bit earlier and start reading your Bible. You're going to have to turn that plate over in order to hear the Lord. You're going to have to surround yourself with people who you know, who are seasoned, who love you, who's going to get right up in your face and tell you you're out of line. But the problem with the church is you don't like rebuke. That's the problem with the church. You can't tell me what to do. Well, if you're a part of the body, if you become part of something and there's structure there, there's organization there, there's leadership, there's everything else there, guess what? We're going to tell you when you're out of line, whether you like it or whether you don't. I told you before, I ain't one of them chump preachers. I will get right up in your face and tell you you're out of line with God. Before I allow you to go to hell, I'd rather you hate me. I'd rather you hate me. And I mean that. Because that's the problem. You have become part of the body of Christ. You didn't become a part of yourself. Yourself is dead on that cross. That's why Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but it's Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live in this body, I live for him who loved me and gave himself for me. Who are you living for? That's what Paul was challenging the church, and I hope I challenge you. Because God gave everything for you. But how are you going to respond back to him? Knowing all this knowledge, knowing all this information. God don't care what you did. From stealing pencils to cutting heads off, it's all the same to God. It's all sin. We're the only people that go, oh, she's doing that, he's doing that, he's doing that, I ain't doing that. I don't care what you're doing. For anyone that knows good, to know to do good and doesn't do it, it's sin. And all sin is unrighteousness before God. So Paul was trying to change the mindset of the church. He was trying to get them to realize, you got to change your mind. Change the way that you look at the situation. You know what repentance is? True repentance? That you change your mind about sin, you change your mind about self, and you change your mind about God. That's what true repentance is all about. And that's what the church got to get back. Jesus and John the Baptist had one message. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. That's all they said. That's all they said. Repent. And that's what the church got to tell the world. Repent. This is about repentance. This is about looking at your life opposed to what God did through Jesus Christ and see where that lines up. And if it don't line up with God, then guess what? You're the one that has to do the repentance. You're the one that has to see that my life is out of order. You're the one that has to see I'm the one that has to change. Because Malachi 3:10 says, six, I am the Lord and I changeth not. So if God is not going to change, guess who got to do the changing? We do. And we change by responding to God by what he initiated into our life through Jesus Christ. Amen? All right. And it also goes on, he said, not only, see, the reason why to change, see, what I like about God, there's always purpose in what God does. All right? So these new ideas and these new attitudes, and we all know we need an attitude check every once in a while, right? Because them attitudes could be a little tight every once in a while, right? So the new attitudes, so that you may prove for yourself what is that good and acceptable and perfect will for God. Like I said, God just does not accept anything, or he wouldn't be God, all right? So it's up to us, through you researching the word, through you asking other brothers and sisters who have been seasoned in the word, who know the true and living God, what does God require of me? All right? What is it? All right? Because we have to prove for ourselves, not to the world, not to the pastor, not to your husband, not to your wife, for you. This becomes an individual thing. Amen? That you prove for yourself what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in his sight for you. He's talking about your labor in the vineyard. He's talking about growth. He's talking about moral character. He's talking about your completeness in Christ. Amen? Because, see, you have to understand from God's perspective, the cross is a finished product. That's why Jesus said it is finished. It's done. It's a done deal. It's a done work. Now it's up to us. That's why it said whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed into the image and likeness of his son. So that's why we're not supposed to be conforming to the world, because they don't know Jesus. They don't like Jesus. So why are you going to conform to that? We have to be conformed into the image and likeness of his son. But if you don't read the Gospels and understand what Jesus was all about, even with adulterers, even with sinners, and the way he beat up on them Pharisees because they was beating up on everybody else, you have to find out what Jesus is. Look at his prayer life. Look at his surrendered life, because this is what this is all about. It's talking about the Christian duties of a surrendered life. When are you going to surrender? And you know how do you surrender? You put your hands up. Huh? Anybody used to watch their Westerns? What they used to say? Come out with your hands up. Huh? Because we want to see what you got in your hand. Huh? Come out with your hands up. And that's what it's all about. An act of surrender is you put your hands up and say, Lord, I can't take no more, God. I done tried everything my way, and it still ain't working. I done tried it the world's way. It still ain't working, God. I tried education, I tried this, I tried that, it still ain't working, God. And if you find yourself in that point, it's a very simple thing. Just put your hands up and say, I surrender. That's when God can move. See, God can't move in your life if you still want to do your own thing. He can't move in your life. Because the Bible says in Ephesians 2 and 10 that we are his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus for good works. See, God already got a plan. He said in Jeremiah, I know the plans that I got for you. Plans of good and not of evil. Plans of hope and for a future. Amen? So if he already got the plan and the blueprint is Jesus Christ, then we ain't got to look at nothing. See, I'm a builder, so I know. I ain't got to ask nobody. You give me that print, okay? This is why I'm going to build you. Now, if it builds you. Now, if you drew the print wrong or whatever, that ain't on me. That's on you. All right? And a lot of times, I have to go back to the architect and say, listen, this is not going to work out, and tell him the reasons why. But one thing about God, you ain't got to tell God why. All right? You ain't got to tell him why. Because, listen, if you're still in your Bible, look at chapter 11, verse 34. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become his counselor? Nobody. I'll answer that for you. Or who has first given him that it shall be repaid to him? Understand, before God, we ain't got nothing to bargain with. All right? You ain't got nothing to bargain with except for what Christ did on the cross. If you're going to deal with God, it better be with the cross. Because anything else coming short of that, you ain't got nothing to bargain with. You're going to lose out. You're going to lose out every time. The only bargain chip we got is the cross of Christ when we accept it and say, I understand. I'm going to take that. All right? It's like door number one, door number two. No, no, no. I'm going to take that one right there. The one in the middle of the other two, that's the one I'm going to take. That's the one I'm going to take. And I want to live like he lived. And like I said, we have to understand Jesus' life, his compassion, the way he moved, all right? And the way he also groaned in his spirit. It's okay. The Bible says, be angry, but do not sin. Sometimes people vex your spirit. Them disciples vex Jesus' spirit too. All right? But we just have to know what Christ is all about, his love for mankind. How is our love for mankind? Is my life such a living sacrifice that I grieve when I hear the news? Is my life such a living sacrifice when I see people without that I'm willing to extend myself? Is my life such a living sacrifice that I can move forward into the things that God have, regardless of what comes against me? Because Jesus didn't let nothing stop him from the will of the Father. And that's what we have to understand. Don't let nothing stop you from the will of the Father. Where am I going to find God's will? You're going to find it right here in his word. The will of God for your life is God's word. That's what it's all about. All right? And he said here, by the mercies of God, summarizes all that God has accomplished for the believer. God has accomplished a lot of things for us through Jesus Christ. And that's found in Romans chapters 1 through 11. All right? Justifying the believer. That's in chapters 1 through 5. All right? If anybody's writing this down, you have been justified. Just as if you justified means just as if I haven't done it. Justified. All right? Justified. Just as if you haven't done it. When God looks at you through the blood of Jesus Christ, it's like you never even done anything. Who wants that? Huh? Who wants that? Think about all the things you've done. All right? Let's be real about this. Think about all the things that you've done. And through the blood of Jesus Christ, God don't see nothing. What you talking about? Even though the devil, who is the accuser of the brethren, who stands before God talking about you, look at that bad attitude she got now. Look at what came out of his mouth. Look at this, look at that. God said, I don't know what you talking about. Why? Because we have been justified through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? It said that whom he called, he also justified. All right? And whom he justified, he also glorified. All right? So you got that working for you. That's in Romans 8. Okay? So I want you to understand this whole thing about Romans. All right? Also, it says, enabling the believer to live a righteous life. And that's in chapters 6 through 8. As you read it, the enabling power, God's grace is not just take care of your sin. God's grace is also that enabling power for you to live a righteous life. There's no one in this room that say, I can't live righteous before God. That's a lie straight out of hell. You might not want to, but it ain't like you can't. Right? And that decision has to be yours. But through the word, there is no way that you can say that I cannot live. Why? Because God's grace and mercy and his Holy Spirit. Because Romans 8:11 says the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is the same spirit that lives inside of you. Now, he could raise a dead man with no heartbeat and no pulse and he can't take care of you? I don't think so. So we need to examine ourselves every once in a while. Amen? To look at ourselves and see where we are at. Also, and being faithful to Israel in chapters 9 through 11. So you see how all that works together for Paul to talk to the church when he gets to chapter 12 about presenting ourselves as living sacrifices? Because he says, just go back and look. Look at you're justified. Look at that you can live righteous. And look how faithful God was to Israel. He called them stiff-necked. You ever read about the Israelites? Stiff-necked. I mean, 40 years. All right? Get right to here. Nope. Take another lap. You missed that one. Take another lap. 40 years. To go from here to Poughkeepsie. How crazy is that? Take you 40 years to get from here to Poughkeepsie. But see, God was still faithful. Why? Because if you read chapter 11, it says God's still going to, we got engrafted in, that he's still going to bring them in. And Israel's not lost. But if you read that whole chapter, Paul discusses the whole thing about how he's going to, how he provoked them to jealousy and how God's going to bring them back through the church. So we have a very important part as far as even Israel's salvation. Amen? That we continue to do that. And then look at verse 23 in chapter 11. He says, therefore consider the goodness and the severity of God on those who fell. Severity, but towards you, goodness, if you continue in his goodness. Otherwise, you will also be cut off. God talking to the church. Paul's talking to the church right there. See, because one thing we get about God, we have to understand about this cross. Yes, God's mercy was poured out. Yes, God's love poured water. But God's judgment was also poured out on that day. Why? Because there's a penalty for sin. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget that. And don't ever get so far away where you think that God will not come after you. Because the Bible says the Lord chastens those who he loves. God will come after you. Especially for those who know to do right. Hebrews 10:26 says, if you willfully sin after coming into the knowledge of the living God, there no longer remains a sacrifice for your sin. Who wants to be there? And then it goes on to verse 31. It says, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. We serve a living God. Our God ain't dead. Muhammad and all that, they dead and they gonna stay dead. All right? Jesus is alive. All right? Our God is alive. Come on, bless him. Our God is alive and he is well. That's why the Bible says the Lord chastens those whom he loves. And then it goes on to say, if he ain't chastening, you're illegitimate. So that lets you know whether you're in there or whether you're not in there. See, the Bible is very plain and very simple. People complicate it. But if you read the Bible, if you get still and allow the Holy Spirit to minister to your heart, every one of you could do what I'm doing. I'm serious. Every one of you could do what I'm doing, but you still don't look at yourself like that. You might not do it in the capacity, but God got an arena for you too. God got arena for you to speak just like I'm speaking. But you have to have this. That's why the psalmist says, I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. That's why Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, your mouth is going to speak. So when you listen to what you're saying, that's what you know that's inside of you. All right? And like I said before, circumstances is going to bring it out. Even with your hallelujah, praise the Lord, circumstances are going to bring something up on out of there. And when it's something that is not of God, then you need to know, I got an area I got to work on. I need to sacrifice this because I'm not living as that living sacrifice. Why? Because if I was, that would not be a part of my life. Amen? That's for all of us. That's for all of us. Okay? And then he goes on that ye present. Okay? This is a reference to a definite act of presentation. He said, present yourself. You present yourself. The same way God presented Eve to Adam, presentation. Okay, remember I said pattern and principle, presentation. You are the one that presents yourself to God. All right? God, here it is, lock, stock, and barrel. Whatever is in your life, I present it as a living sacrifice. Let the fire burn this up. Let the fire change this. Let the fire move this, God. Here it is. But you have to do it. You have to be the one that brings it all to God. Why? Because you know yourself better than you do. You live with yourself more than you live with anybody else. And you know what's going on in your life. Good, bad, or indifferent. Amen? You know. You know what you have to present before the God. I told you, I'm not the sin police. I ain't going to investigate your life. I know what I got to do for me. Still. All right? As the pastor, I know what I still got to do for me. I ain't sweating you. I got my own stuff to worry about. All right? And that's why you shouldn't be in nobody else's business, because you got your own stuff to worry about. Stop worrying about everybody else's business and take care of your own business. That's what Paul is saying. Take care of you. Like Nike, do you. Leave everybody else alone. Do you. All right? Because this is in reference to an act of presentation which is found in Exodus 29, 37. An offering of a sacrifice that became holy under the Levitical system of presentation. All right? Shadow and type. All right? The Bible is shadows and types. This sacrifice that they're talking about here in Exodus was just a shadow and type of the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen? And it said because of the sacrifice, it became holy, and whoever touched it became holy. So guess what? Because of the cross of Christ, all right, if you could touch it, guess what? You could be holy too, just like it. Why do you think the woman with the issue of blood said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment? Because she understood the holiness of the sacrifice. Holiness is about being made whole. See, righteousness you can't work on because we ain't never had none. All right? Our righteousness comes from Jesus Christ. Holiness, you can work on. Every day of your life, you can work on being holy. You can work on being more devoted to God, more consecrated to God. But if you can't do it, then do like that lady did. Get a determination in you. If I can just touch the hem of a garment. She didn't say if he could touch me. I need to touch him. So that lets us know, what area in my life do I got to touch Jesus with? Because I don't care what area of your life is out of balance, what area of your life you might not be able to get a handle on. You touch it with Jesus, and everything is going to change in your life. But you have to have a determination. I don't care if you got to crawl on the floor, tears streaming down your eyes. Listen to that. The woman with the issue of blood, she had to push people out the way. First of all, she couldn't be around. You know, her life, 12 years. Her and her husband, you know, all right, the kids. In Jewish history, you can't be in a congregation. Somebody in here bleeding for 12 years, we ain't going to let them in the door. She said, I want my healing. That's how bad she wanted it. That she kicked the doors of the church in, pushed through everybody else, and got to Jesus. And that's what we have to do. What determination do I have to get to Jesus for myself? Not because the pastor's telling me, or not because of my mother, my father, my brothers and sisters. What determination lies inside of you for you to push yourself into the presence of God and have him change your life? Amen? And this shows that the Christian life begins with total commitment and irrevocable presentation, which means that once you give it to him, you don't take it back. All right? Because it talks about the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable, which means that once God gives it to you, he ain't going to take it back. So our presentation to God as a living sacrifice, once we give it to him, leave it there. Take it to the altar and leave it there. Don't pick it back up, because that's the way we are. We come up here, you have an altar call for something, you come up here, and before you get to the door, you done pick that thing back up again. Leave it here. That's what you got to do. Leave it at the altar. God can deal with it. You ain't going to knock him off the throne. I don't care what it is. If he could take the Apostle Paul, a mass murderer, and write 97% of the New Testament for the church, I think God can handle what's going on in your life. What do you think? I think he's big and bad enough to handle anything, any issue, any stuff that you got going on in your life, but you have to be willing to get it. Give it to him. And it begins with total commitment. You have to have a total commitment to God. You have to be totally sold out for Jesus Christ in every area of your life. Or this living sacrifice thing is not going to work for you. It's not going to work. Your bodies, the body being an instrument of sin in chapter 6, is now presented to God as a channel through which righteousness is manifested publicly, openly, and outwardly. You ain't got to sneak around no more. Thank you, Jesus. I ain't got to hide. I ain't got to dip. I ain't got to dab. I ain't got to go through the night. Who's going to see me? Who ain't going to see me? Because I don't care. That's why Jesus said men don't come to the light. Why? Because their works are evil. They don't like the light. But see, once Christ is in your life, you don't care what people see you doing, because you know that my life is a living sacrifice. I'm responding to the love that God showed me on the cross. And I always tell you about my, you know, my life and everything else. But I ain't got nothing to hide. My life's an open book. I don't care what you say, but I remember when I remember too. Thank God for Jesus. Amen. I remember too. Don't be ashamed of your past. Boast in your future. I'm the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. I'm the righteousness of God. I don't care what you say about me. You might remember all that stuff about me, but guess what? I am righteous in his sight. And that's what being a living sacrifice is all about. And that's what responding to God in a way is all about. And then it says, do not conform to this world. That part. This is a literal translation. You know, some they say figurative. Well, Jesus, that was just figurative. Well, this one's literal, okay? Do not conform. This is a literal translation. Stop conforming yourselves. We are to resist being poured into the mold of this present thinking, its value systems, and the conduct of this world. And thank God for that. You see the world that we live in? How many want to be poured into this mold? And if you are, the Bible says stop. That's what Paul was saying to the church, because evidently they must have been doing the same exact thing. And here we are 2,010 years removed from when he said that. And we have to stop allowing this world to pour us into their mold. That's why there ain't a person in here should be claiming a recession and talk about hard times. They is in a recession because they out of odds with God. That's why they're in a recession, okay? Because their money is their God. That's why they're in a recession. All right? We trust in God. We believe in God. Because you can look throughout history when there was famine and everything else. Said that Isaac sold in a famine and God blessed him 100-fold. So I don't care what they say about the recession. Keep sowing. Keep sowing till God shows up. Keep sowing and believing. Because that's what it's all about. We can't be taking on what the world says and allowing that to be our thinking. We can't have their value system and the conduct of this world. We don't take our cues from the world. They should be taking our cues from us. All right? They should be taking their cues from us. That's why we got to be careful about what you allow to come into the church that is worldly, just to make somebody feel good. All right? Or just to keep the children. We're going to bring this type of music in just to keep the children. Listen, if the word of God is not going to keep you, music surely ain't going to keep you. Jesus said, Lord, Father, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. That's what Jesus said. So if that word ain't going to sanctify you or purify you, you can bring all the music you bring in here. It ain't going to do nothing. It's because of the word. That's the only thing that's going to purify you. That's the only thing that's going to change your life. And this all takes place from a dedication to the will of God. All right, go to 1 Peter. Okay? Let's go to 1 Peter 1, chapter 1 right quick. First Peter chapter 1, verse 14 through 16. Everybody there? Okay. Yes, okay. 1 Peter chapter 1, 14. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance, okay? We ain't going backwards. We were ignorant before we came to Christ. We ain't ignorant no more. Ignorant means you just didn't know, all right? You were doing what you're doing because you didn't know. Ignorance is not stupid, as we say in the world, okay? Ignorance means I just did not know. But now that you know Jesus, now you know what he requires, we ain't going back that way no more, all right? He said, but he, As he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. All your conduct. Because it is written, because be holy, for I am holy. Who's that sound like? Jesus, right? How did Jesus defeat the devil? Every time the devil said something, he said, because it is written. See, that's why we have to know what is written. You have to know what is written in this word to give you strength, to give you stability, and to give you everything else. Go back a little bit, okay? The will of God, because we're talking about the will of God. All right? Hold on a minute. It says God will refer, this God's will refers to his purpose for the life of the believer. It implies that his guidance and direction is in all life's decisions. All right? Whatever decision that you're getting ready to make, a lot of times we make decisions, myself, I still got to keep myself in check, all right? That sometimes you make decisions, and then you get in the middle of a decision and say, why did I do that? Why? Because you didn't check in first, all right? We didn't check in on the word. We didn't check in and ask the Holy Spirit, is this the way that I'm supposed to go? Because the Bible says that the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons and daughters of God. If it bears witness that we are the sons and daughters of God, it's also going to bear witness whether we should do this or whether we shouldn't do this. Amen? But a lot of times we are just so self-motivated, self-willed because of our past that we have to understand, let me just take a moment and look at this situation. Let me just play this out in my mind. Now, if I do this and do this and do that, where is this going to end up in? And if you see that it's going to end up on the wrong side of you and God or the wrong side of the word of God, then it ain't worth it. Why? Because this is going to get me away from the word of being living a life that is holy and acceptable unto God, because we want to be well-pleasing to him. Amen? We want to be well-pleasing to our Father. Dedication is the act of surrender or submission to the will for our lives, where we become a living sacrifice. There has to be a surrender. I said that before. Daily dependence on God results in the transformation into the image of Christ. Your surrender to God, your surrender to the promptings of the Holy Spirit with your mouth, the promptings of the Holy Spirit with your body, the promptings of the Holy Spirit with your thought, the prompting of the Holy Spirit with your children, with your marriage, with everything, is going to transform everything in your life into the image of Christ. Everything. There's nothing that God is going to exclude in your life, church. We have to realize that everything is going to come into the image of Christ, which is the obedience to the Father. Jesus didn't let his family, he didn't let his friends, he didn't let the disciples, he didn't let no situation or no circumstance get in the way of his obedience to the Father. And that's where we got to get to the point, that I'm not going to let nothing come in between me and the Father. I'm not going to let nothing. We might have to sit down and talk about this thing, honey. All right, we might have to sit down and talk about it with your husband. You might have to sit down and talk about it with your friends. You might have to sit down and talk about it with your friends, your relatives, your coworkers, or whatever. But nothing is going to come in between me and God. Why? Because I made a decision to surrender all to him. That's the only way that this thing is going to work. And we seek to discern the will of God, okay? When we seek to discern the will of God, we must also be committed to doing the will of God as it is revealed in his word. Amen? We just can't say, I want the will of God in my life and go looking for it. And then when you find out what the will of God is, you don't want to do it. All right? That's not the way this thing works. That's not the way surrender works. That you go looking for God, you find him, now you don't want to do it. See, God is not going to ask you to do something that you can't do, but he's going to ask you to do something that you don't want to do. And that's where the decision comes about whose will is going to win out here. God ain't never going to ask you to do something that you can't do. That's why Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that's for all of us. The last one here, let's go to 1 Thessalonians, all right? 1 Thessalonians, right after Colossians, table of context, or whatever works, all right? 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 4, verses 3 through 8, and I'm closing in this. But before we get there, just look at chapter 3 and verse 11, because this is a prayer for the church. And it says, now may our Lord and Father himself, just listen, you'll get there, okay? 1 Thessalonians, I'm in 3:11, but we're going to go to 4. And our Lord Jesus Christ, direct our way in you, And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Amen? Getting back to that holiness thing. God said, let this thing establish you, that you are blameless before God. Now, chapter 4, we're going to start in verse 3. Okay, because we're talking about the will of God. For this is the will of God for your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. Each of you should know how to possess your own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but into holiness. Therefore, there it is again. What's the therefore? Everything he just said from verse 3 to verse 7. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit. So we have to understand that when we collide with the will of God, you ain't rejected Pastor Don. You're rejecting God. That's what we have to understand, each and every one of us. Every decision you make, every action that you have that doesn't line up with this word and everything that you just heard here today, you ain't rejecting me. You ain't rejecting Vaughn. You ain't rejecting Steve, Josh, Gary, and all the rest of us. You are rejecting God. And he said, God is the avenger of all. He said, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. See, we just can't tear that stuff out the Bible and just have all the love messages, because we have a God who is an avenger, amen? But we want to be well-pleasing to God. Church, today, God is initiating out to someone, but what is going to be your response? Through the cross of Jesus Christ, through his word, and through his church, what is going to be your response to God? How are you going to respond to God from now on in this new year, in this new decade? After hearing this message, because you can't go before him and say, I didn't know, I never heard him, because he said, you're a liar, because he done preached that message January 3rd, 2010. All right? Just in case you don't know where you're at. All right? He's going to say, no, you didn't. You heard it, and he said that it's through my son on that cross that I initiated a response. All God wants to know today is, what's going to be your response? Are we going to continue to live the way we want to live, or are we going to respond to holiness that God wants us to live before this world? We're the ones that have to make a decision. God has done everything that he's going to do. Jesus has came. He went to the cross. He went back to heaven. He ain't coming back as that little lamb. He's coming back as the conquering lion of Judah. Amen? And he's coming to set things in order. That's what Jesus is coming to do, to set things in order. And we want to be on the right side of God, and we want to be well-pleasing in his sight in everything that we do. So let us just close our eyes. Let us pray.